And Jim, you are welcome to start playing whenever you're ready.
Start video, wait a minute. Okay, here we go.
Amen. Good morning, friends. This is the day that God is making. This is the day of newness and life. And we are gathered here together. And though we are scattered in many different places, we're gathered here together in this virtual setting to worship the God of life and love and liberation. And I'm happy to welcome us into this time and welcome you, especially if you're here for the first time. We're glad you're here. If you're joining us here in this virtual setting, we are glad that you've come, and we invite you to share your name and if you'd like in the chat box with us. If you're here visiting for the first time, please share your name. If you'd like to share a note with me personally, you can also email me tabunitedpastor@gmail.com. And that email is in front of you on the screen as well. I'd love to hear from you if you're visiting and would like to learn a little bit more about our community. My name is Katie Akins. I'm the pastor at Tabernacle United Church, and my pronouns are she, her, hers. And I am really grateful to be here this morning with you all and worshiping together. I want to give a special welcome to Clive and Juanita Thompson, who are joining us this morning. I'm not sure if they're here yet. We are hoping the internet at the church will be working. But Clive and Juanita Thompson are in sanctuary at Tabernacle United Church. They are in our building now and are staying there and have been now for a couple weeks. So they are planning to join us for our worship service this morning, and we hope that that all goes well and that they are able to do that. and they will have an opportunity also later to share in the service. And hopefully you can stay for our virtual coffee hour, which we will also have some time to greet them and talk with them in this time. So please say a warm welcome to them as soon as we can see them. Hopefully that will be soon. I want to also give a few announcements this morning for us to think about a couple of, first of all, there is a, related to this Thompson's End Sanctuary, there is a virtual fundraising dinner that will be happening this Friday at 7 p.m. And this is their monthly dinner that they host to raise funds for, to pay for their mortgage as well as legal fees. So if you can come to that virtual dinner, it's also a great time to get to know them and to hear from different folks and gather together in community. So that will be this Friday at 7 p.m. We have sent out a link for that in a tab news that I sent out yesterday, but we will send out another reminder, and do let us know if you don't get that information. We can have that sent to you. So that's this coming Friday at 7 p.m. The other event that I would like to announce this morning that I also want to do while asking you to keep it confidential. So we're going to share this information confidentially. This information will also not be posted on our website. We're going to cut this section out of the recording. But that is that we're going to have a public event at Tabernacle on Tuesday, September 29th. At 10:30 in the morning. And that will be our official declaration, welcome sanctuary public event, where we will also invite the press and other leaders, other community and faith leaders to be there, as well as folks from different supporting congregations. We'll be there, social distancing. We're gonna send out all of the instructions for that and more details on that. But this is going to be, again, Tuesday, September 29th at 10:30 in the morning. I know that doesn't work for a lot of folks who have work to do or are working during those daytime hours. So I'm sorry that we can't accommodate that, but we will. But this is just for you to know. And if you can make it, we would love for as many folks as possible to be there to show support. So we will be sharing more information about that in the next days as we make more plans. Finally, just a reminder of our weekly opportunities to gather. If you would like to join us for Bible study on Wednesdays at 5:30, we will be meeting again this week. We also have an opportunity to gather for prayer every Tuesday at 8:30 in the morning, if you would like to join us for that as well. It's a great time to connect and carry each other's burdens and lift up our own burdens in the time that we're in. So let us continue now as we worship God and call ourselves to worship.
We are gathered online as your people to be community, to be together, to be your disciples. We are not happy with our current situation, but we trust each other and we trust God in this connection. Let us worship the God of liberation.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pax and my pronouns are they, them. And I invite you to sing some songs of praise and worship this morning, starting with this South African traditional song, "You Are Holy, You Show Us the Way." Let's sing together. You are holy.
You are holy, you show us the way. You are holy, you show us the way. You are holy. You show us the way. You are justice. You show us the way. You are justice. You show us the way. You are justice. You show us the way. You show us. You show us. You show us the way.
Amen. I hope you were dancing on that song. I hope you were singing and worshiping this morning together. Now let's sing Oceans. And I invite you to imagine being in a calm place, being out among the waters as we sing this song. You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand. And I will call upon your name, and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, and you are mine. Waters, your sovereign hand will be my guide. My feet may fail and fear surrounds me. You've never failed and won't start now. So I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my faith could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours and you are mine.
Amen. Pax, that's one of my favorites. Okay. good morning. My name is Ana del Corazon. I'm tuning in from Iowa, and this is our opening prayer. My pronouns are she and her. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. God, help us trust you. Give us faith. Help us become disciples. souls in the wilderness. Amen. Prayer of confession. We miss our lives before the fires and the storms, before the pandemic, before this regime. We identify with the Israelites, lost and separated in this new wilderness. We want to return to simpler times. But in simpler times, most of us were people of privilege, citizens of the empire, not always recognizing or caring about the plight of our fellow Americans or the other countries we have dominated and destroyed. Now we are concentrated on our own survival, knowing our discipleship is even more necessary, not knowing how to proceed, not trusting that God will help us find a way forward. Yahweh says, at twilight, you shall eat meat, and in the morning, you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, your God. God will help us find God's way forward. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are set free.
Please join me in singing a song of praise together.
Salvation and glory, honor and power unto the Lord our God. Hallelujah, salvation and glory, honor and power unto the Lord our God. For the Lord our God is mighty, the Lord our God is omnipotent, the Lord our God. God is omnipotent. The Lord our God is wonderful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory, honor and power unto the Lord our God. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory, honor and power.
Jesus has set us free and brought us the peace that passes all understanding. We receive that peace and we spread it and give it to those around us. So let us take a moment now, and you have the capacity to unmute yourself in just a moment. So please do that and share the peace of Christ with your neighbor. You can go to gallery view as well so you can see each other. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Hi, Thompson. So glad you're here.
Hello, Iowa.
Wonderful.
Oh, hi, Thompson.
Hi. Good morning.
Hello.
Good
to see you.
Hi, good to see you.
How's that?
You are muted.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Chris.
Good morning, Ken.
Morning, everybody.
Morning. Morning.
Hey, everybody. Morning. Pax, hello again.
Oh, hello.
As usual. And Barb. Hi, Barb.
Hi,
Barb.
Hi.
That was a great letter, Barb.
where we eat.
Hi, Ken. Hello, Andy and Lynn.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi.
Good to have you.
us.
I am Laura.
I leave.
Now's the time in our service where we invite the children and the young at heart to come closer to the Zoom screen for children's time. Let's sing together.
Come and see, I am the way and the truth, said he. Follow me, follow me. As a child, oh, come and see.
There we go. Okay. A lot of the people who've done children's time in the past few weeks have talked about love and about kindness. And I was thinking back to a story that we heard a while ago that showed somebody doing something very kind for a child. So I'm going to tell this story again, something I really like. So as I said, I like to tell stories about people who do very kind things for other people. And this is a story about a little boy who was very scared, about a little stuffed wolf who had a torn leg, and a very kind nurse. So one day this little boy went to the hospital. He was hurt and he had to have an operation to fix his hurt. He knew that the doctors would put him to sleep and he was afraid that he would hurt when he woke up. He was very nervous, so he brought his favorite stuffed animal, which was a little wolf. He liked to hug the wolf and that made him feel better. Now the wolf was hurt too. It had a tear in its leg. The little boy asked his mother if the doctor could fix his wolf's leg. And she said, oh no, the doctor is much too busy. So when the little boy woke up, there's a picture you can see. When he had his wolf in his arms, but the wolf looked different. The wolf had a little mask on his face, just like the one the little boy had worn during his operation. And the wolf also had a little green cast on his leg that I think has dinosaurs on it. Under the cast, there were very neat stitches. And one of the nurses had fixed the wolf's leg. Now, she didn't have to do that, but she said it made her very happy to do that kind thing for the little boy. So he was happy. He felt better. The wolf went on to have a long life with the little boy. And it's just a story about something that can happen when people are kind to each other. So let's end with a little prayer saying, God, help us think about ways to be kind to each other. Amen.
Child of God, you are a child of God. Let your light shine bright to the world. You are a child of God.
I put out an invitation to the congregation recently to think of songs of comfort or songs of joy in recent times that have been giving you sustenance. And one of the ones that came up in that search was, My Life Flows On, How Can I Keep From Singing? So I invite you to sing together. On in endless song,
heart's lamentation. I catch the sweet, though far off, hymn that hails a new creation. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? Through all the tumult and the strife, I hear that music ringing. It finds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing? No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? The peace of Christ makes fresh my heart, a fountain ever springing. All things are mine since I am His. How can I keep from singing? No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since love is Lord of heaven, I keep from singing. Amen.
Amen. The scripture this morning is Exodus 16:2-15, and I'm going to read the New Revised Standard Version. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way, I will test them whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening, you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because they have heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against them, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for they have heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread, then you shall know that I am your Lord God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Will you join me in prayer? Gracious God, I give you thanks for this moment and for the joy of being able to gather together in this virtual setting and worship and remember who we are and who you are. God, I ask that you would speak through me and that you would speak in spite of me, and that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be to your glory. Oh God, you are my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Are you ready to be a parent? This is a question I remember we were asked quite a few times when we were in the adoption process. And I often remember thinking to myself, I don't know how anyone answers that kind of a question. Some days it was yes. Yeah, we feel confident. We feel ready. We took a baby care basics class. That should help. But other days it was 100% no. No, we are not ready. After all, can any book or class or enough education or talking to people really teach you what you need to know to navigate a relationship you have never had before with a human you haven't even met before? I'm the kind of person who likes to be properly prepared for things. I don't often like surprises, especially that will challenge me or evoke a huge change in life. Maybe you can relate to this. What's often hard for me to remember is that so many aspects of our lives, what prepares you the most for any kind of change is really the actual decision and willingness to step in and trust and try starting to do this new thing. Are we ready? Are we ready? We ask this question repeatedly as a congregation, preparing to become a sanctuary church again, or to renew our commitment to be a sanctuary church. Are we ready? We asked. And under the question, are we ready? We asked a lot of other questions. Is the bathroom ready? What about the internet? It's working today. I'm so glad to hear that. Will the family feel okay in the building? Do we have enough resources? Is there enough space? What if something goes wrong? What if we mess up? And these are all questions we needed to ask, we needed to process. They were not unimportant questions. Our preparation is important, and we needed time to process as a community, to pray and to work through these details, because being a sanctuary church involves all of us. But there came a point, didn't there, in our process together when we realized that not all of our questions could be answered and that we will probably not really ever be totally prepared because we are doing something we haven't done before, at least in this particular time that we're in and in the particular way that we're doing it. And we are working with the Thompson family who we are just now getting the privilege to know and who are getting to know us. Not to mention we are in a pandemic, and so everything is more unpredictable. There came a point for us where we needed to step out in faith and trust. Trust in God, that God is in this and that the God of liberation has called us to do this. Trust the Thompson family, who we are getting the privilege to know and who themselves have had to step out and some pretty radical trust without having any time to prepare. And trust, yes, in ourselves, because not because we can do everything or that we know how to do everything right, but trust in ourselves because God has entrusted us with gifts, with a building, and with capacity to do this work. The thing we have to reckon with, and what I'd like us to wrestle with this morning in this sermon time, is this. We may never feel ready or fully prepared for the work that God has given us to do. We may never feel totally ready. And that actually is a good thing. It actually is what discipleship is all about. And by discipleship, I mean simply following Jesus. Following Jesus is about stepping in, often not feeling qualified or prepared to do the work that Jesus calls us to do, to build a new world in the shell of the old. Remember, when Jesus calls disciples, he didn't ask for their resumes, for their prior experience, for how they would handle a situation of conflict. He was known to just say, hey, you fisher folk, come follow me. He didn't ask questions about whether they were prepared or felt qualified. I think that God sees capacity in us more than often than we see capacity in ourselves. I also think God isn't as concerned about the messiness of our mistakes as much as we are. We forget that God can actually work with mistakes. It's harder to work with a perfectionist who in the end is too afraid to try and fail. I remember when I sang in a choir in seminary, and our choir director would sometimes break up or interrupt the rehearsal, and she'd yell over to the alto section, which is the section I was in, and she'd say, you have to sing louder, you have to sing louder. And she would stop everything and come up close to us with her face, like right in our face, and she'd tell us to sing loud your part. And we would have to do that. And she'd say, if I can't hear you, then I can't hear if you're off key. And if I can't hear if you're off key, I can't correct your pitch. Could it be that God would rather we sing loud and off key than be too scared to sing at all? God is interested in hearing our voice. God is interested in our faithfulness. God doesn't care about us getting it perfect. God cares that we try, that we step in, that we trust. Even if we can't see or control the unfolding of a future plan, we've never been able to anyway. There are a few stories, I think, in scripture that capture the theme of radical trust as much as this story we've heard this morning. Nothing could have prepared the Israelites for this kind of drastic change that they were going through in their journey to freedom. The journey to freedom was more like a catapult into freedom. It's only been, we hear in this story, it's only been a couple months since these folk escaped Pharaoh's oppressive regime under the hand of this strange liberating God that they were just getting to know, Yahweh. They left Egypt, it's like saying they left in early July of 2020. It's only been a couple months. They've never been this far from home. They've never been this far from an oppressive regime. And their relationship to Yahweh is brand new. And what we see in this story today is some early experiments of what a more life-giving and sustainable economy could look like under Yahweh. An economy where there's enough for everyone, where there's generosity, trust, reciprocity, dependence. But life here in the wilderness is difficult, to say the least. The Israelites, in fact, complain to God repeatedly. Their complaining to God is mentioned no less than 7 times just in these verses that we heard. Some translations say they're groaning. Some translations say they complain or they murmur or they grumble. Whatever word you use, though, the important thing to notice is what their groaning evokes in God. What we notice is that when they groan, when they complain, God hears them. God hears them and responds. Why is this important? Why is it important that God hears them? We say this a lot, that God hears us, that God hears us. But we must not forget why this is so important here, because if you know anything about Pharaoh, in contrast to Yahweh, is that Pharaoh was in the habit of not hearing, not hearing complaints. What is characteristic of Pharaoh's behavior is that he does not hear, his heart is hardened, and he does not respond to the cries of the people. What is it that marks an economy of slavery and capitalism that allows the rich to get richer and the poor to stay poor? In the Exodus story, this kind of slavery economy is marked by Pharaoh and those in power refusing to hear the cries of the enslaved. That refusal to hear the suffering of the people who work the land for your benefit, that is what marks the slavery economy here in Exodus. And let me say this with grief in my own heart, and that is that what I believe is so demonic about our current administration is that we see this very same posture that Pharaoh took. The refusal to hear the cries of those who work this land, the refusal to hear the very cry of the land itself, to deny the science of climate change is to refuse to allow one's heart to be softened so that grief for what we are losing and destroying can mold our hearts and move our hearts toward action. To refuse to hear that humanity is suffering under the pandemics of COVID-19 and racism, that Black and brown and immigrant and Native peoples are suffering and dying at a disproportionately high rate, that refusal to hear the cries of the people who are suffering, a hardened heart. This is what undergirds the policies of Pharaoh in Egypt and keeps the slavery economy going. And this is what is happening under our own government. Let us note that in the biblical story and here plain as day in Exodus, this way of operating is enraging to Yahweh, the God of the Exodus. Yahweh is a God of liberation and holiness and justice. And what marks Yahweh as different from Pharaoh is that Yahweh hears the cries, the groans of the people who are trying to get out under the boot of empire and responds repeatedly to set them free. Though we are thousands of years removed from the Israelites in the wilderness, from this story that feels so ancient and strange in ways, it also feels like this story is close to us, that we're very close to this wilderness experience. Like the Israelites, we are clear about some things. We will not bow down to Pharaoh of our own time and his racist anti-immigrant policies. We will not. Nor will we give in to all the lies. We will not live in denial of the suffering of the earth and our participation in that destruction. Nor will we live in denial of the real groans of hunger from all across this country and the ways that poor people, working class, essential workers are being sacrificed in the name of economic progress. We are clear about some things. Pharaoh is not our God, nor are his policies the policies we support. And yet we know, especially those of us like me who benefit in many ways from the status quo, we do confess that we are more like Pharaoh than we'd like to be. We carry him around inside of us. It's not like you just leave a place and expect to start out with a clean slate. And it wasn't so for the Israelites either. They wanted to go back on some days. Liberation is daily work, daily engagement, confession, self-awareness, determination in the mundane aspects of our life. Liberation is remembering time and time again while eating, while working, remembering that we serve the God of liberation. I am convinced that the God of the Exodus is just as eager today for us to step in, to trust, and to try. To commit again to creating a new community of justice in the shell of the old one that is fading away. God doesn't care about us getting it perfect. God cares that we try, that we step in and that we trust, that we try the manna in Hebrew is translated, what is it? So when the people ate manna, they were eating, what is it? God provided what is it for the people to eat. We have to try eating some what is it in order for us to learn what it is. God doesn't give the Israelites a 10-year plan. She doesn't even give them a 2-day plan. All that God gives these beloved ones is enough for the day, with instructions for not taking more than you need and remembering whose hand delivered it to you and the one who delivered you from bondage. This is life with God, a life of dependence, of trust, of generosity, a life that continually seeks to exit Pharaoh's world of inhumanity and build up Yahweh's world of humanity and justice. Is there ever a time you think that you'll be ready for this new thing that God is inviting you into today? I don't know if we'll ever believe we are totally ready or that we have even capacity for deep change, but I do know a God who believes we are ready and who trusts us more than I think we trust ourselves. A God who doesn't obsess about our mistakes, but cares about the deep longings of our heart and our actions to create a more just world. God cares that we try. Can we step out a little bit more in trust today, knowing the God of liberation is behind us, before us, beside us? I think we're ready. Ready to speak, ready to listen, ready to be a sanctuary church, ready to fight with and alongside the Thompson family for their freedom. We are ready. We are ready to grieve a world that we are ready to grieve a world that will not be as it is. We are ready to change. We are ready to vote. Are we ready to vote? We are ready to vote. We are ready to try and fail and try again. Remember, God doesn't care about us getting it perfect. God cares that we try. Amen. Amen.
Are you ready? I'm ready. I'm ready for a new world. Giving is an act of faith. We believe that what we have to offer makes a difference in this world. But more than that, we believe in the one who is behind our giving. We may not see God with these eyes of flesh, we may find it difficult to even catch a glimpse of what God may be doing around us and in us. Likewise, we may not see the effect of what we give or what we do for Christ, but still we believe, trusting in the one who is faithful, whose new mercies we often only see by faith, day by day. I invite you, my family, my siblings, to give now as an act of faith. Give as you are able. To give electronically, you can text any amount to 84321, or you can visit our website, tabunited.org/donation. We walk by faith, we live by faith, we give by faith. God of great gifts, you have given us so much. Accept these gifts from our hands. Our faith will respond to your abundant grace. Ever faithful God, we long to be faithful givers, modeling ourselves on you who has given us everything to us. May your spirit of abundance, which gives more than we ask or imagine, grace these gifts for your kingdom, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Before we move into our time of sharing our joys and concerns and testimonies, which we do every week, and you can be thinking of what you'd like to lift up, and we will, in just a few moments, start putting those requests and prayers in the chat box. But before we do that, I'd like to see if the Thompsons are still here and could share a little bit with us for a few moments. So I'm going to invite them to share a word of greeting and a few words with us at this time. Are you here?
I'm here.
Great. Welcome. We can hear you. So go ahead and share a few words with us if you would. We're so glad you're here.
Thank you guys so much for having us this morning. Nevertheless, you know, I would miss this for nothing. I just want to say again, thank you guys for having us. I know it's a team effort to come this far. But I also want to, you know, say thank you, Vic, for the wonderful flowers, you and your wife. When I woke up one morning, there was flowers from Vic and his wife. And I just love, this girl just loved flowers. And I just really, really and truly appreciate it. Thanks for, you know, putting the mirror in the bathroom and the other stuff that you brought here. I just want to also say thank you, Pastor Kay, Heather, and Asta for actually coming to visit us in this pandemic. I know that you probably was trying to check us out a little bit more and learn a little bit more about us on the one-on-one. I hope you kind of find what you was looking for. Well, we are here, so I guess you got some of the answers that you was looking for. I just also want to say thank you, Sarah. I think it was last Sunday or the Sunday before, she came and got our paperwork. Well, she actually printed them out because our printer was not working, and expressed them to our lawyer. And so, you know, our paperwork can put in because the courts are open. And I truly don't know where to start about Susan. You know, Susan is just like a mother to us. Even the little things of just reaching out and saying, how you guys are doing today, means a lot to us. I truly pay attention to all details. And I'm just saying these shout outs, but I know it takes all you guys to come together to do this final year. And we are truly, truly so grateful. We realize there's a lot that was, we don't know who everybody is, but we just want to say thank you. Together and just cleaning up everything for these beautiful towels for us. I don't know who the person is, but you know who you are. And I just want to give a special shout out. And again, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for having us. And we're looking forward to kind of, you know, when this pandemic kind of slow down some, so we can cook some delicious meal and we can keep each other in person and fellowship. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing those words. And it's just it's such a gift, even if we're not with you in person, such a gift to be able to see you and to connect a little bit in this virtual setting. So we're so thankful. And thank you for sharing those words with us. So we will have also a little bit of time after the service to talk. So for those of you who are able to stay a little after the service today, we'll have some more time to talk to each other and with each other. So let's move now into our time of sharing joys and concerns. And if you have a concern, a burden you'd like to lift up, you can put that in the chat box now. Or if you have a joy you'd like to lift up, something we can be celebrating with you, you can do that as well. And let's remember that this time of sharing is a time where we remember that God hears us, that we serve a God who hears our complaining, who hears our groans. And so let us open up our hearts to the God who hears. And let's also, as a community, open up our hearts and hear one another. Let's hear the prayers and all that is on our hearts this morning. So please share as you feel led. And in just a few moments, then Anna will be reading our concerns that come in.
From Jim, prayers for all who wish for justice, given the assault that is now mounting. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Eloise Chivery, prayers for Dick and Eloise. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Susan Wargo, please pray for our son John, who just lost his job. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Lucinda, online teaching and learning is hard. Prayers for finding joy and perseverance. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Vic, for wisdom and compassion for everyone during this very tense and turbulent period in our nation's history, for strategic planning and peaceful intervention as needed. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Erica, pray for my friend Michelle, who recently lost her unborn child. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Eloise, thanksgiving for the life and witness of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I guess that's from Dick and Eloise. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Christine Thompson, prayers for a long, long desired yes so that we can leave sanctuary. Yes, God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Alicia, prayers from my uncle Sonny. He just relocated from LA and has to adjust to a new life here in Philly. Prayers for my family as we help him navigate senior services. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Gina Del Corazon, prayers of infinite gratitude for the life and work of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. May her memory be a blessing. May we be inspired and moved to act to see her most fervent wish granted. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Jibin, apologies if I didn't get the name pronounced right. Please pray for the safety of families who live in neighborhoods where there are a minority and amongst those who hate. The police were called on me for walking on my own street with a claim from neighbors that I was breaking into houses. If I couldn't point to my own house, things would have been different. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Geneva, for all who are preparing for a free and fair election. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From PAX, prayers for the LGBTQIA+ community in Philly. I'm praying for healing, restorative justice, accountability, and a strong community in the midst of conflict. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. from Sarah Hill for less hate and more compassion. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
As we lift up all of these prayers, let us sing together and remember the prayers that have been spoken as well as the ones that are on our hearts still. Let's sing together. Let us continue to lift up our hearts in prayer. O God of great mercy and compassion, we thank you that your ears are open to us, your children. God, we lift up all of the prayers that have been already spoken. Prayers for healing, prayers for mercy and justice. Restorative justice, prayers for healing, prayers for the birth of a new way, and for your help in these times. God, we ask that you would be close to those who are grieving, who have suffered loss. We ask that you would provide deep comfort on those people. We ask, O God, that you would be with those of us who are too comfortable, who need their hearts to be melded and shaped into compassion and love. God, we ask that you would break through to those who have too much comfort and are in need of your agitating presence. God, we ask that you would hear even our groans. We know that you do hear our groans in the same way that you heard the groans of the Israelites, your people. Sometimes they aren't words, but just groans, and we trust and know that you hear them. We lift ours up, and we lift up the murmurs and the cries of your people throughout this land. We also lift up and listen to the cries of the land itself. God, help us and be with us. Help us to try, help us to step in, and to trust again today, even if it's in some small ways. For you are a God who stands before us and behind us and beside us. And we thank you. We thank you for Jesus, our liberator and our friend, who taught us to pray this prayer. Let us pray the prayer. If you need the words, they are in front of you on the screen. Our parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you, Pax. Those words in that final song really are like a benediction to us, that we are going to keep on till we find more joy and more peace and more justice. So as you go out and go forward this week, friends, I want to encourage you to let go of striving for perfection, of some kind of fantasy world where you're going to be prepared for all the change. We are in this mess together, and what God asks us, what God invites us into, and Jesus invites us into, is to step in and trust. We follow the God of life and liberation. So let's step in and trust. Let's find our next steps, and let's not be afraid to try and even fail, and to be a part of this new world that God is creating. So go in peace to serve God, to serve one another, to serve our land and our earth. In Jesus' name, go in peace. Amen.